Jehovah even gives judgment by fire, and with his sword he comes against all flesh. Jehovah pierces en masse. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 16 was that scripture. Today's scripture for today, little children, from the Ward Green version of 2003. And returning to our study once again of the Orient Express, or the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, as it's entitled in full. And we begin to read chapter 7, paragraph 11 now. What do we want to say here? Well, the Orient Star, I was mentioning the company, the Orient Star, which is not a luxury watch, but a high-quality segment of the company, which is part of, it's a part of Seiko, the Japanese watchmaker. But also, there's an Orient brand, which is the even less expensive brand, but Orient Star. The Orient is considered to be a premium quality division of Seiko, but the Orient Star is the highest quality that is made by the Orient brand. So Orient Star is their most, their finest, but not necessarily always expensive, according to their own propaganda, shall we call it, their own information. 0844 hours at the beginning now of what we're reading in paragraph 11 of chapter 7 of the Ark of Urartu. Keep getting filled with Holy Spirit. That's from Ephesians 5 and 18. And then I wrote at 0857 hours, Tommy, bless you. You are so beloved by so many. ...1104 hours, an old Chinese proverb says that when the number of people reporting some event increases, so does belief. And we read in this ancient Chinese proverb, quote, it was near the end of one of many wars, this time with the Zhao kingdom. Pang Kong was to be sent by the king to the Zhao kingdom with the king's son, who was to be held hostage. It was common at the time for a king to make his son a hostage to secure stable peace between warring kingdoms. Before Minister Pang Kong departed, he asked his king, if one person told you there was a tiger running in the street, would you believe it? No, the king said. The minister continued, what if two people told you? The king replied, well, I would have my doubts, but I might believe it. The minister continued, so what if three people told you that there is a tiger running in the streets? The king replied, yes, I would believe it. It must be true if three people say it. End quote. In 2010, when I showed Matan, a Jewish salesman for heat in a click, you know, those little heating pads where you click on the little metal tab and it starts the chain reaction that produces heat in the heating pad, I showed this gentleman Matan, the flyer for Shen Yun Performing Arts, which dramatizes the history of China in dance and bills it as, quote, a performance 5,000 years in the making, end quote. He chimed only, quote, if the Chinese say it, it must be true, end quote. So what a remarkable statement. This Jewish salesman for Heat and a Click said, if the Chinese say it, it must be true. And I'd never heard anything like that before. I'd never understood that anybody had an opinion of the Chinese like that. That had never occurred to me to think like that before, but it's significant because we've found some chronological information in the Chinese history, right? And the recorded history of the Chinese mythology, right? Which is something we've been able to use in this article to verify the dating of the Tower of Babel. It's been very significant to us, the fact that China has a history like that. Plus, there's a performance that tours the Chinese touring company that goes around performing this drama of the history of China. They have a title for that performance which mentions the number of 5,000 years for the Chinese history. And of course, we're in about the year 2010 at the time of this article, so about 2,000 years plus 3,000 would be the history of China from, therefore, the time of the deluge, right? Because 3,000 plus 2,000 is 5,000, and 3,282 BCE is our date for the deluge. If Chinese history is that old, you see, 5,000 years, then Nimrod, if the Chinese history only began in 2700 and something, then that's 27 and 2010, which is 4710, let's say, which is close to 5,000 years for the history of China, based on the time of the Tower of Babel and the time when the nations began to spread out into China, you see. But even the number 5,000 years does not go back further than the deluge either. So they recognize that perhaps even some of their, without specifying, we don't know, but perhaps some of their myths have included some of the time period prior to the Tower of Babel, right? So it makes perfect sense timing-wise, the 5,000 years, because we've got about 5,200 years or 5,300 years between our date now and the deluge. Now, this paragraph concludes with the quote from Psalms 146 and 3. It's sort of a warning here. Do not put your trust in nobles, nor in the son of earthling man, to whom no salvation belongs. See, it's saying that salvation does not belong to the sons of earthling men, which is why, of course, the ransom sacrifice of our Lord Jesus was required. But do not put your trust in nobles is a very important thing. It is reminiscent of the expression found on all U.S. money, in God we trust, it says. In other words, we do not trust in any humans, not even nobles, nor, you know, people of great reputation, you know. In other words, people of people held in high esteem, we don't put trust in them. We just, if they're humans, they're the sons of earthly men, right? We don't put any faith or trust in human wisdom, human power, human ingenuity, you know, human loyalty. We don't put trust in any human at all. Very powerful, important verse there, Psalm 146 and 3. That's all for today's study. It's going to be quite good to see how this proceeds. We're still in chapter 7. We've still got five more chapters, if I reckon right, after this one, right? So it's a lot to 8 through 12 is 5 inclusive chapters. So that's all for today's article study. And yeah, I'm wondering now whether the rheumatoid arthritis that I get, I think it's just a flare-up that happens, maybe. Maybe. It might not be related to what I'm eating. So it might be a flare-up that happens. Excuse me, oh, that's some itchy skin. Itchy spots. We're still in allergy season here. We're still in allergy season a little bit. In the allergy season until the deep frost comes. But yeah, because I've had other experiences related to the seasonal variations in the temperature. Like when the temperature gets colder, there's certain changes that I experience physiologically that are, without being specific, because it gets us off the topic, but because it is true that those things do happen, then I think it's safe to say, or more safe to say, it's reasonable to start to postulate that when I experience the flare-up in my rheumatoid arthritis in the one spot on my thumb here, that might be just seasonal and that it might not be related to diet. But I'm not willing to take a big risk and eat some food that could make it flare up even more. So I'm still going to be cautious, I think. But if I can get it to die down by eating the foods that are good for being, curative and effective against rheumatoid arthritis, such as green tea and licorice and all the anti-inflammatories like that. You know, sugar's not good because it's inflammatory, but green tea and, I mean, I still do eat some sugar, but green tea is supposed to be one of the very good things you can use to treat rheumatoid arthritis. What else am I thinking that I was going to talk about? There's nothing else really that I was planning to talk about today. I think, yeah, we have that scripture, right? We need to talk about that a little bit. The scripture that was the quote from Jesus saying, all those who take the sword will perish by the sword. Well, you know, it's in one sense, we have the scripture also of Jehovah taking his sword. It says, with his sword he will take up the controversy, but he's not taking the sword. He takes up the controversy with his sword, you see. Doesn't say he initiates it. Jehovah doesn't go out and initiate a battle for no reason. He doesn't just say, well, I just am in the mood for a battle. I'm just going to go and initiate a war. That's not what he does. In fact, he is taking up the controversy against all flesh, it says there, and the slain of Jehovah will certainly become many. The slain of Jehovah will certainly become many. That's the New World Translation from 1984, Isaiah 66 and verse 16. So we also see from other scriptures, though, that the nations fight against each other is another interpretation of how, because Jehovah doesn't have a literal sword. He's a spirit being, right? He is a spirit being. He doesn't have a literal sword. There's no physical sword that Jehovah possesses. So he can cause people to fight against each other. And that's what it says in other places in the Bible. It explains how, in many cases also, in the battles that Israel fought, that Israel didn't even have to lift up their sword because Jehovah told them they didn't have to, and they still won the battle because the enemy forces slew each other. And so, but it's just, they will, according to prophecy, let's see what we can, they will slay each other according to prophecy. Let's see. That's Jeremiah 15 and 2, but you can't see that, I'm afraid. Let's see what we have here. Jeremiah 25 and 33, look. They will not be bewailed, neither will they be gathered up or be buried. These are the slain that were slain by Jehovah, it says there. I'm afraid you probably can't see that very clearly. And I will, in Ezekiel 38 and 21, against his own brother the sword of each one will come to be. That is the scripture, one of them. That's one of the places where it does specify that the way in which the sword acts, it is by means of imperfect humans. The Bible is such a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful book. I mean, even if you just, if you open up the Bible, when people, they often say that, if you, would you open up your Bible? Have you opened up your Bible today? Or would you like to open up your Bible? Or let's open up our Bibles. They say these sorts of things. And usually they'll say, we'll open it up, let's open it up to the book of chapter such and such, verse such and such. They'll say that. Which is, you know, oftentimes that's for a specific purpose. It's reasonable to look at a specific verse. But what about opening up your Bible in any way, to any place, and reading the verse that you find there? What about just reading one verse, opening up your Bible? I did that today. I did it many times, actually, but I started at about Psalms. Just happened to be Psalms where I first opened it to. And I don't recall which Psalm it was now. But I could probably find it again if I had the same exact book, because I know where I looked on the page. But I can show you something I did find when I proceeded to look and open up my Bible at several more places along the way towards the end of the book of the Bible. And this is what I ended up finding. It was about the maybe fourth or fifth or sixth place I opened to. but I found James 4 and 1. From what source are there wars, and from what source are there fights among you? Are they not from this source, namely, from your cravings for sensual pleasure that carry on a conflict in your members? Namely, from your cravings for sensual pleasure that carry on a conflict in your members? James was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a Bible writer here, a Bible book writer. And when people, when the Bible writers wrote their books, they didn't know that it was going to be part of a book called the Bible. They just wrote their letters or their accounts, whatever they were, in the different cases of the different prophets, or in the case of the New Testament writers, it was the Gospels and the letters. And James wrote this letter, not knowing it would be part of the Bible, but it's interesting because he specifies the source of wars, human wars, the human battles, right? Fights, also fights among Christians, originate from the same place that wars do, which is, according to James, from their cravings for sensual pleasure, right? So in other words, that sounds like they're bored. People that get bored and they say, well, we got to do something with, for one thing, if they've been building up a large assortment of weaponry, they feel like, well, why do we have all these weapons? Maybe they get bored and say, well, we've got to put them to use. So they want to, and they're bored. So they need some sensual activity, some kind of, their senses need to be stimulated. So they decide, well, let's do something, basically, is what they're saying. And that's what they're saying when they start a war. It's also the cravings for sensual pleasure carry on a conflict in their members. There's some kind of conflict going on that makes them unhappy with their current situation. And then he says, look, the reason you do not have is because of your not asking. He says in verse 2, if you don't have something that you want to have, it's because you are not asking. Or, in verse 3, he says, you do ask, and yet you do not receive because you are asking for a wrong purpose, that you may expend it upon your cravings for sensual pleasure. Yeah, the right purpose. We need to ask for things for the right purpose. We need to have the right purpose for asking for things. The right purpose. So what's the right purpose? Well, remember when Solomon prayed? He prayed for wisdom, right? That he could judge God's people. Maybe we can find that. But he didn't pray for, for selfish reasons. You know, he prayed for something for an unselfish reason. He prayed for wisdom so that he could judge wisely and rule God's people wisely. Where do we have that? How can I look that up? Perhaps we can see. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. Even though you make many prayers, I'm not listening. Isaiah wrote, with bloodshed your very hands have become filled. So Jehovah won't listen to our prayers if we're seeking just to shed blood, which just means killing people. Zechariah 7:13, so it occurred that just as he called and they did not listen, so they would call and I would not listen. Jehovah of armies has said, Zechariah 7:13, just as he called and they did not listen, so they would call and I would not listen. Jehovah said, now what about let's see where we can find that. I want to find it. Let's see. See what we have. Right. It's somewhere in this book of 1 Kings, I have a feeling. Because you made a prayer, right? And, well, look, there's what. There in verse. In 1 Kings 10:14, that Solomon brought in the amount of gold up to 666 talents of gold in 1 year. That's where the number 666 comes from. That was considered at times in places by certain people as the devil's number. 666, right? But 1 Kings 9, there it is. I've heard your prayer. First Kings 9:3. So when Solomon prayed, right. Oh, yes, right. First Kings 8, verse 30. You must listen to the request for favor on the part of your servant with which they pray toward this place, which he's praying with regard to the temple, the place where the first temple was built, Solomon's temple. But I think it's prior to this. It's a long prayer. I have a feeling it's even prior to this. I'm not sure where it is now. I think it's earlier than that. I'll just do a Google search. Okay. I'll do a Google search. It's 1 Kings 3 and 9. Oh, I'm very close. Look, I was one more chapter away. If I just went one more. 39. There it is. You must give to your servant, Solomon prayed, an obedient heart. He prayed to Jehovah to judge your people, to discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this difficult people of yours? And the thing was pleasing in the eyes of Jehovah. Right? Because, you know, God said in verse 11, for the reason that you have requested this thing and have not requested for yourself many days, nor requested for yourself riches, nor requested the soul of your enemies, and you have requested for yourself understanding to hear judicial cases, look, I shall certainly do according to your words. Look, I shall certainly give you a wise and understanding heart, so that one like you there has not happened to be before you, and after you there will not rise up one like you. And also what you have not requested, I will give you both riches and glory, so that there will not have happened to be any among the kings like you all your days. Okay. Right. So, that was it, verse 9. He prayed to Jehovah, Solomon prayed to Jehovah, to give him an obedient heart. That was all he prayed for. Because he wanted to judge God's people with justice, right? That was the reason. With wisdom and justice, therefore, would be the consequence, right? That people would be, let's see what it says again. Yeah. To discern between good and bad. Yeah. So that's very often a difficult thing to do. Discern between good and bad. So that's a scripture we can think about. That's it for today's study. November 24th is today. The year is 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 2034 hours North American Eastern Time. Thank you so much for listening and watching again. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. And on my behalf, this is Sissy. Such a beautiful, beautiful color on the face of that watch. And this is Star, the high-quality division of Seiko. A very high-quality watch. Saying bye for now. That's it for today's study.